Welcome to the Midwest Scrubcast. I'm Emily Rastel, and I'll be your pilot for the party bus today. Joining us in the gunner slot is Clint Squiggle Me Timbers Houston.
Hello. Joining us in one of the crew slots is the Midwest Scrub from the South, Dan Peterson.
Hello. And joining us in... have you won anything recently?
I have not played much recently. There was a store champ about a month and a half ago-ish. Does that sound right?
Maybe.
It feels longer than that.
Maybe two months ago. Clint and I played against each other in it for a little bit.
And you didn't win, or you did win?
Oh, I did win.
He did win. Yeah, so he has won something in the last couple months. So
still ostracized.
Yeah.
Smuggling and snuggling in the department. It's Matt. Oh, you have a beard now. Kerry.
Wow. Took him a while to notice it. I've only been growing it for months now, and he's seen me every 2 to 3 days.
Oh, man. Huh. You've changed, man.
Well, hello there.
Dan just hadn't updated his repository of facts about you. His repository of facts did not include you having a beard.
And... So, like, he's always had scrub?
Scruff?
Stubble, yes. Uh-huh. Scruff?
Scruff.
I don't know why scrub, that's
scruff.
My...
Scrub the scruff.
I mean, for reasons my brain went there.
Like, I don't know why I think about scrub at all.
No, it doesn't make any sense. You've had scruff for a long time.
Yeah.
But so I hadn't noticed that it slowly changed from scruff to actually a fairly full beard.
Yeah.
Until you said something to me about it. So my mental facts about Matt have now been updated.
If I turn this direction,
it's not as full.
It's not as full.
But from where I sit, it's looking good.
Yeah.
Do you have that one side is thinner problem?
Yeah, I have one little thing where there's just like a patch where it's like, I'm going to grow in really weak right here. So
yeah. My brother has the same problem. His is just super patchy. Yeah. It doesn't grow.
Have you considered like a wig for that spot?
A wig?
Yeah. A beard wig? Is that a thing?
Wig. I would imagine so.
I mean, I suppose false facial hair is a thing for movies and stuff,
but
so
like,
sure,
surely
why not?
They have little patchy things that you could put on, right? Just, you got to shave that one spot and then just put a patchy there?
That seems like way too much work. I mean, too much work.
Look, it was, you have a beard now or fancy shoes. I decided that the beard was better.
I do like these shoes.
I have not seen them before, I don't think.
Yes, you have.
Never noticed them before
either
tonight.
Either not paid attention.
Or you didn't add them to your little book of facts inside your head.
But yes, I like them. They are Skechers. So I've gone Skechers and not gone back since...
I don't think that's the saying.
Probably a decade now. I'm fairly certain I just said it, so that makes it a saying.
Once you go Skechers. The saying. Maybe we should contact Skechers.
So anyway, Skechers were the first time I went to a shoe store and I was like, I like the look of that shoe. Mm-hmm. And then I put it on and I was like, I like the feel of this shoe. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I haven't gone back because typically I'll go to Skechers, find a shoe that, you know, pleases me, and then put it on. And yes, it is nice. So
I had a pair of Skechers that I enjoyed quite a bit. I have no idea what happened to them.
Well, that's unfortunate.
They disappeared.
I did not take them.
I mean, I wouldn't think that you would have. I don't think they would fit you.
I'm a size 13. Yeah, sometimes like a 12 and a half.
Nope.
I've never had Skechers tennis shoes, but when I was a teenager, I had a pair of Skechers sandals.
Wow.
And they were really comfortable until... So they had one of those like gel insole or gel things, you know, in the sole of the sandal, you know, like a gel piece in the heel.
Yeah.
And that was great until the gel started kind of fraying and like tearing apart. And then it became more uncomfortable because it was
you saying that actually made me realize that the work shoes that I buy, I think are technically Skechers brand with the gel thing in them and steel-toed work tennis shoe boots.
Mm-hmm.
But I had Skechers that were that style, more classical Skechers.
Tennis shoes.
Shoes.
How were shoes technically Skechers? But in some manner, not technically.
I suppose I said words and didn't realize that I said them.
Okay, you said the work shoes you boots you use are technically Skechers.
Oh.
So
Perhaps Skechers.
Perhaps Skechers.
I think they're Skechers. Mm-hmm. I'm not positive.
Okay, because I was going to say, over there. As like, if they're technically Skechers, I feel like they're just Skechers. I'm going to go take a look. You guys vamp while I'm gone.
And he's off.
I feel like we should just pause awkwardly until it's under like right there. Yes, bed, black shoes.
Okay.
This is great content.
Yeah, I don't know how we got here, but we're here.
Well, so the discussion was whether or not I should introduce Matt as you have a beard now or fancy shoes, because I noticed his shoes earlier today and I kind of like them.
Those shoes are technically Skechers because they are Skechers. They say Skechers.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Turns out we all like Skechers more than we think we do, or Dan likes Skechers more than he thinks he does. I don't know.
I just wish, like, now it's just hitting me that I have no idea what happened to those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I should, right?
No. For you to forget where something is,
it's perfectly fine.
No, like, I don't think I've seen them in, like, a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that do happen sometimes, even for those of us with normal memories. Yes. That do happen.
Yeah, I don't know a lot of things that I...
But I liked those shoes.
Done or said or fair been enough. Or...
Yeah.
So, I'll toss it back to the pilot of the party bus, Emily the Terror Wrestle Restle.
Thank you, Matt.
Did I derail things again?
I don't think so. Okay. I think I got where I mean, I
this
to
isn't
go.
There are no rails anymore. This is a build your own rail system now. Where you just lay down the tracks as you go, and
speaking
someday
of, I've not
you
seen
end
pictures
there
from Stephen Lauren's advent calendar in quite a while.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, Nick freaking Sperry gave him a hard time.
Said, hey, stop spoiling things.
Said, stop spoiling the Lego advent calendar.
I
like
the spoiling, though.
Because I'm not building them myself, so, you know, I didn't mind.
Yeah, just tell him we can kick Nick Sperry off the server.
Yeah, we could just, you know, I mean, just eliminate the problem and keep seeing cool pictures.
Yeah,
uh-huh. I'm fine with that.
I'm going to text them right
Hi,
now.
Hi, Nick.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Uh-huh. I mean,
yeah. Anyway, so this is an episode where
that
this
it is
an episode.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Accurate descriptions. This is an episode where the Scrubcast talks about our favorite piece of recent Star Wars
media.
Yes, recent Star Wars media, and that is the show Andor.
Andor.
Andor what?
If you, the joke goes on and
listen,
on.
Listen, you guys did it like three times before the podcast.
It is the first time. It is the first time
recording the entire time.
Yeah, this is the first time the listeners have heard this joke, but it's not the first time the rest of us have heard it. Number one, I guess, you know, if you somehow haven't seen it and you're not into spoilers, then, you know, maybe skip this
wall.
Whole episode, probably. Like, I feel
spoiler
like
wall. Skip half the episode.
Yeah, at least, if not more. Maybe go right on to the announcements, because I don't know that we're going to get that far away from Andor throughout this episode. So, fair warning. But if you haven't seen Andor, though, you should, because it's really good. Like, out of all of the, you know, Star Wars recent things, like, it's definitely
even
very worth watching.
Even if you take it outside the scope of not recent things.
Yeah.
It is
sure.
just incredibly good.
Yeah. Incredibly better than basically anything else that they've done, even remotely, quote, recently, whatever you define recently as. Yeah. Like, and like I was telling my sister who doesn't know anything about Star Wars, and like, funnily enough, she watched the final Rise of Skywalker movie.
Yeah.
She watched it with a friend, just like having not seen the like she didn't really know the context, but she was like, I know I haven't seen the other two movies, but like that made no sense. I was like,
the movie was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which one are we talking about?
Rise of Skywalker,
oh,
the
Rise
last
Skywalker.
One. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Her sister, with
Palpatine
no context
one.
Of any Star Wars, not a Star Wars fan, not having seen Star Wars,
no.
goes to watch Rise of Skywalker
well,
with
no,
a friend.
It's not that she.
Like...
It's not that she knows nothing. I don't think she knows nothing at all, but.
Almost nothing.
But she hadn't seen the new ones for sure.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, she. Yeah. She had very little.
That would be really rough.
So, yeah.
It was a weird call to begin with, but. Following it up, it was, but you know, it was probably an odd one anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, odd, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
So anyway, she, has watched The Mandalorian, or I told her to watch The Mandalorian. I can't remember if she actually did it or not, but I was telling her, like, The Mandalorian, you know, is the one to watch at the time. And then Andor came out, and then when I was talking to her at Thanksgiving, I was like, or whenever that was, I was like, yeah, and remember when I told you about The Mandalorian? So the other thing you should also watch in addition to The Mandalorian is Andor, because
I have that my older brother, who doesn't, you know, like fantasy stuff too much, watched The Mandalorian and was like, that show was awesome. And then
he was Western.
And then he was looking forward to the Book of Boba Fett because they teased it there. So then he went ahead and started watching that a little bit. And then he stopped it and was like, oh, yeah, this is why I don't like Star Wars, because it's silly. And I was like, all right, but you got to watch Andor. He's like, okay, but which one is Andor like? Is it like Mando or is it like Boba? Because I don't want to watch if it's anything like Boba.
That's
understandable. Like, I am.
It's like Star Wars. You grabbed hold of some people who are kind of on the fence about fantasy or just didn't really like it, and then just, you know, chopped their hands off.
Yes. Like, yeah, I am a very easygoing critic of most media and found lots that I really didn't like about Book of Boba Fett, despite being mostly interested in the scum world of Star Wars and being a Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah.
No, so, like, there was plenty of people that I, like, knew that were on their way out on watching Star Wars content. Like, they're like, okay, Mandalorian was fine, but Book of Boba Fett was abysmal. Obi-Wan was just okay. You know, it was like some of them were like, it was like just filler content. It was like, this is just Star Wars to have Star Wars, and which, fine. And like, when I've been like, I was, people that had said things, I was like, I have hopes for Andor. I didn't watch a single trailer, so I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't know where to put my hopes even.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, I have hopes. And then I watched the first two episodes. I was like, this is good. Mm-hmm. And then when I went down to visit the Barons, I watched the third episode with Andrew Knuckles, and he was like, so? I was like, this is really, really, really good.
Yeah. They did a fantastic job. Everything I was hoping for.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's nice to be able to say that about a Star Wars, media content.
Yeah, I texted my sister. I was like, hey, you coming in for Thanksgiving? No. Have you watched Andor? No. I was like, do it. Because it's nice to actively, like,
be excited.
Because, like, she's, you know, a Star Wars fan, but, like, you know, she is not as big of a Star Wars fan as I am, but it was like, you will like this. And it's nice to be able to be able to recommend something. Also, I don't think that Andor, and maybe you guys might feel this way, I don't know, I don't feel like you need the whole backlog of Star Wars. I
think
you might be able just to jump in at Andor. Maybe.
As long as you understand the general context. I mean, I feel like there's a bare minimum maybe of, I mean, like, it's still fine without it, but I feel like there's a bare minimum of kind of like context of, like, what the Empire and the Rebellion are, that kind of makes it a little, like, understanding just that at the broad level that context. But other than that, like, even though
I think if you like watch A New Hope first, you might be able to just be like, okay, and this is a prequel to it, and just be like, and then be like, wow, this is really good. The other one was a little more pop, you know, pop action movie, but this one, so, like, one of the things that I like about it, it's got a very Cold War spy feel, like, I don't know if any of you saw it, but Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. But it's Cold War, it's got Gary Oldman and a bunch of other folks, and it's just really good, and it's, you know, it's spy content, and it's just really good. And,
Anyway, so
aside from it just being really good,
I guess Matt's the one who has copious amounts of notes about this, so maybe he has some structure as to how he'd like to talk about Andor.
So first off, I would like to know how we rate the score.
Yeah, because we had this rating score.
So the score of the score?
See.
The score of the score. What is the score of the score?
Well, fan freaking tastic. Like, so, like, I.
We stole Steven's score.
Yeah, I understand. Yes. Okay. I was like, they also you're don't
looking
do,
at it. It's like you didn't.
They also they don't apparently they don't, do it anymore.
Well, either. That's because we stole it from them. It's, now, it's ours. Our thing.
Get wrecked.
We rate the score now.
So, starting with, the, I mean, just talking about the score. So
is it supposed to be out of 10? I feel like it's supposed to be out of 10.
You can take it out of whatever you want. Oh. You can take it out of your bank account.
Take it out of context.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So, like, just even the intro. I mean, it's just like a 15-second intro, and it's just like, are you going to play it for
I don't know what this is. So
Have you not? You may have skipped the intro. Which,
I probably didn't skip the intro. I mean, might have skipped the intro.
Because, you're kind of missing a little bit of something. But Dan's going to pull it up and play it vaguely in the background so you can hear it.
I'm just going to listen to it where nobody else can.
Well, this
is weird.
It might be useful for not just the audience, but everybody else here to hear.
Okay, fine.
But the thing is there's 12 different intros. They're all variations of each other.
Oh here's episode one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, episode one's a good one to start on.
I wonder if this is picking up at all. That was part of it.
Buffering, yeah.
Probably sounds awful.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Quality. Quality content.
So
it is the same music over and over again, differently, though?
I can tell you that is not from the first episode, because the first episode is just strings.
You're just strings.
You know what? Maybe I am. And the second episode is strings, but with a cello added in.
It says episode one.
It's a liar. And then the third episode adds percussion. And then the fourth episode adds like a little bit of rolling percussion. And then the fifth episode loses percussion, but then does tubular bells. And then
how do you pay this much attention to things?
Because it was beautiful. And also there's times when it makes sense in the context of the... So... Once it gets away from, you get into like the second half of the episodes, there's, as soon as he, we're into spoiler territory now, you know, we're not just talking about how things are good. Uh-huh. So once Andor is jailed, like everything starts to go just synth. It's less actual strings. It sounds more 80s synth. When they do it, and then so my notes.
Like, did you go back and watch this again to notice these things, or did you just notice these things?
I noticed
in
some of them going through, like the synth. I noticed, like, I didn't notice that there was truly a difference in the first six episodes.
Did you guys notice these things?
I recognized it more near the later episodes. I was like, this music has changed.
Yeah.
This intro, because we listened to the intro the whole time. It never struck me to think.
Yeah.
Oh, they've been changing it or slowly adding to it, progressing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
But
how does your brain notice these things?
Because I notice these things.
I mean,
so
my brain realized there's a difference between just simple wah-wahs and wah-wahs with a bunch of cling-clang and ching-chang with it. And I was like, that's different than what it was earlier, I swear. But I didn't care enough to go back and look or check.
So I went back through because, I mean, it's a show worth watching, and I just wrote notes this time around. So I made sure to write notes about it. So anyway, for the
Wawas.
For Wawas episode
and
cling
clings
and ching chings.
Yes. Walla walla bing bangs. But for episode 7, 8, 9, it's got synth. It just goes synth. And then you get back to once he escapes. It goes back to strings, and then there's horns. But the big thing, so the last episode, you know how there's that marching band, the funeral marching band?
Oh, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do recall seeing that.
In the opening.
And hearing.
In the opening, mm-hmm. They have the discordant horns from that. So they're playing the song, but they're all just slightly out of tune, or they sound like they're...
I did notice it being out of tune.
So, like, it's cool. So, like, they play that, and it's the people, you know, it sounds like people warming up for playing later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just thought that was really cool. But also, it's got a theme that just that five, I think it's, I don't know if it's called a chord progression, because I'm not in a... music. I'm a music appreciator, not a music doer. So, and it's just like,
so this is not the intellect portion.
This is, but it's like a theme that I can latch onto. Like the Obi-Wan series, there was nothing, I don't recall any music out of that wasn't just like already established, like the Imperial March and stuff like that. Like Boba Fett had Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But which is whatever. Yeah. It may have been good, but it's so tainted by everything else that it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. But Mandalorian has, you know, the didgeridoo and
I appreciated the Mandalorian's music.
I think it's like a double flute or something like that is what it's called. I don't remember. But again, I'm not the technical music person. But, you know, it's like, but it has something that I can latch onto musically that I just really enjoy that, you know, I'm not going to do it because I won't hit it on key. So, but
yeah.
Very good.
Sure. Thoughts, yeah. Thoughts. Honestly, like, because it was so short and because it was basically just a series of chord progressions and not something with like a strong melody.
Yeah.
I just, my mind just glossed over it. Okay. Like, it's not that I didn't appreciate the, like, oh, here's this nice little, you know, intro thing that's like, you know, whatever. But like, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not worth appreciating, but like, I totally just like glossed over it. Like, I may have noticed at some point when I can't even remember, honestly, if I noticed it changing even at all. Like, I imagine I did at some, like you said in the later episodes, it got more dramatic. So I'm assuming I noticed that at some point, but like, yeah, my mind definitely just glossed over it.
I noticed the synth music.
Yeah.
But I didn't put it together that it was more different.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, and specifically those episodes, they, you like, the music is more synth just in those episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's also a particular moment in the end of episode 2 where it's like Cassian walking towards the screen, and I think that's like one of the things they use as like the teaser, and like I think it might be like the image for when you click on Disney Plus and like click on Andor, it's him walking forward, and like the music they have playing during that is just like the, like there's drums going at it, and I was like, this feels intense, it feels like it's amping up, and then it's like, and next time on Andor, and I'm like, yep. And I'm glad I have this third episode already because I'm amped for the next one.
Yeah.
And oh man, just to talk about how good it is, like when I got done with an episode, it's been a while since I've like fiended for like something. Like when I was at Boba Fett, I was just like, ah, you know, I'll see next week's episode.
Yeah. This I was, guess.
I got to the end and I was like, I have to wait for more. And this is a travesty.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Like it was a lot more engaging on that level. Like, yeah.
So one of the things that I also appreciated, moving beyond the score of the score, just talking about how I liked these characters, like, and not like a bunch of them. Like the space Scott, you know, the chief that was helping
that one guy. He had dark hair. One guy, not the other guy.
Oh, yeah.
So the guy's name was Cyril, and he was like the guy that he was
the second
helping.
In command of something.
Cyril Korn or something like that. Karn is the guy that was he was the corporate guy that was pursuing after Andor.
Mm-hmm.
Like his right hand man was a space Scott guy, and I just like, this guy is incredibly endearing to me. I like him for no good reason at all.
Yeah.
It was like, and when he showed up back up later, I was like, yes, space Scott is back.
yeah, he was just like, I mean, obviously we don't agree with his, you know, overall attitudes, but he's just sort of endearingly blindly gung-ho.
Yeah,
he's trying to kill Andor, of course, you know. So like, so we, you know, we're supposed to yeah. Yeah. Wow. We're
Well, and then
they were told not to pursue them though.
Just along those lines, I didn't, you know, like Cyril, but like there was plenty of points where like I could see myself rooting for him, like when he encounters his mom.
He was an interesting character.
Yeah.
Speaking of that,
his mom?
Yes. Like his encounters with his mom and stuff.
Disturbing.
Overall, the entire series, I think if I had to complain about one thing, it would be the awkward family times that we kept showing on screen. And I understood that they were trying to, like, humanize things a little more and be like, look, these are just normal people living their normal lives. But they just kept using, like, awkward familial arguments and things over and over and over again. I'm like, I feel awkward watching this scene.
The only time I had a problem with doing it was with Mon Mothma and her husband and daughter. Mm-hmm. More her daughter, because like the friction with her husband, you can see where it's leading. It's like, you know, it's like, and she, you know, towards the end, she's like, she starts shifting blame. Like, mm-hmm. she's like, I know I'm being listened to, so I'm shifting blame. Uh-huh. I'm having an argument with my husband, and shifting blame onto him. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The daughter one is, maybe that's something we'll see more of in season two, because mm-hmm. it doesn't feel like it came to anything.
Mm-hmm. I feel like where it really just kind of got to me when I realized that they were just using this trope was the place that they robbed Aldani. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The random like corporate officer or whatever head imperial guy there, they were like, oh, let's just show him in his quarters with his wife and daughter, and they're having they're having some weird familial dispute and arguing, and it's like, wait, why are we doing this here with this random person that we don't care about, that we know is gonna like mm-hmm. be gone in the next scene?
Because it can't just they're not just
evil Imperials. They also have lives, I guess. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that they have lives, but also this guy's kind of a dick still.
Yeah. It's like, that was just weird. It was just weird that they did it again.
Because, yeah, I mean, it was just basically he was like, you know, his son was like, I don't want to wear the Imperial sash or whatever. Yeah. And he's like, you're going to wear the Imperial sash. And it was just, I mean, it was like 15 seconds. I have no problem with it.
Like they just kept reusing the same trope over and over again. I'm just like, why are we doing this?
So that's just something
I just noticed in every episode. It just kept happening.
They hit on just family in general every.
Right. I think that I suspect the creators of the show would call it a theme rather than a trope, and they would say that, you know, that they were, you know,
intentional. They were trying to drive.
I suspect they were happy or they were intentionally or, you know, embracing. There we go. That's a good word. They were embracing this theme they had of, you know, of family. Not to say that you're wrong to be annoyed by it. It's fine.
So like, I have that written down.
I just thought it was awkward.
Emphasis on a family.
For an otherwise amazing show. It's just like, this is awkward scenes.
Yes. Maybe you are just too empathetic. And, you know, you just are having trouble. Because, like, I mean, I totally get where you're going in terms of, like, yes, they did have, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, repeatedly. But, like, I didn't have a problem watching. Like, it didn't bother me. And, you know, and it's not because I was, like, you know, especially super into the theme or whatever per se. It was just, like, it just didn't bother me.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, maybe you're just more, you know,
in tune to it.
Because empathetic to it or whatever, more bothered by the tension.
Well, I noticed it didn't, like, aside from the Mon's family, it didn't bother me. And I believe that's because they're, like, in Mon Mothma's family, they're really trying to show you that, hey, this is a really dysfunctional family. They're not doing a good job. You know, it's it seems like an arranged marriage. They've all but said it's an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is not a child of love, but, you know, she still cares for her daughter. And the father's just kind of like, yeah, I give the daughter whatever. And Mon has to be the bad cop. But she's also trying to fund a rebellion at the same time. It's like, well, but so I did have a emphasis on the family while not directly calling it out, because they're not fast and furiousing this where it's like it's all about family,
all about family.
Yeah, because like you have Cassian's relationship is Clem, Marva, and we'll count B2 Emo. What was that?
I'm trying to think of who Clem is.
Clem is his dad.
his adoptive dad, right? Like that
he's
was
only in a few scenes, like when they first pick up Cassian when he's a kid. He's in there, and then they show him in a flashback a couple different times because he's dead by the time that Cassian is older. And you see a flashback of his father getting killed because he just happens to be in the firing line of some clone troopers when he tries to stop people throwing rocks at clone troopers. I think you might need to watch the show again, but judging by the look you're giving me. So, Clem is his father.
Okay, very good. We can move on from that then.
Yeah.
And it's not the only thing that radicalized Marva versus the Empire, but it's most likely, you know, because she says that she has avoided a specific street where they hung him after he died.
That would make sense. If somebody hung my spouse, I would not want to go walking down that street and leisurely.
So she told Cassian that she was she felt brave. I don't know. But she was like, I was brave enough to walk across the street. And she was like, I am rebelling. You know, it was, and it was basically before Cassian, he had just robbed Aldani, and he's like, you know, I got money. We can leave now. And she's like, nope, my place is here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I was able to walk across the street. My place is here. And it's like, you can't stay, but I can't go.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there's that family.
Mm-hmm.
While here, also just going to say, family is one of the main reasons why people turn against the Empire. Because, you know, Clements died, and then Marva dies, and then Cassian turns against the Empire. Up until this point, he's just, you know, been trying to survive, just trying to make his way through the galaxy. He hates the Empire, but he's not actively against them. He's more just passively against them. But anyway, then you got we talked about the family, Mon with her sister Vel, which is, you know, we don't learn that until much later. Interesting. Her husband and daughter, and then like Clint was saying, the Aldani governor and his small family is another family, and then we have Cyril and his mom, which, to the awkward point there, is
you're supposed to feel awkward.
She would drive me to do terrible things.
You're supposed to be annoyed by her.
You're
supposed to do a great job.
you're supposed to feel like, oh, this is why this guy strives for perfection, because he's trying to please somebody that perfection wouldn't even be good enough. And it's like, that's the why this is guy is the way that he is.
They definitely did a good job with that.
Yeah. But the list of people, like Cinta, which was the Indian Hindi looking lady.
Okay.
I think they said that her family was killed, and then Keith was a name that Cassian gave. The guy that ended up saying, hey, you know, let's just steal this freighter.
Yeah, the awkward murder that I didn't feel was
Keys or something like that.
Was his name? I don't remember.
Yeah, but it was something along
Keynes
the lines. But he mentioned Kynes, he was like,
Krieger.
My brother.
Krieger?
No,
Krieger's the other guy.
Anton Krieger is the guy that Sir not appearing in this film. But he was like, he mentioned that his brother had an orchard and the Empire killed him. Not really certain whether that was true or not, because like later on he says, I have no brother, but I don't know if he meant that my brother's killed. So I'm really not, I don't care that, you know, he's dead. I can make off with, you know, with millions of credits. So,
right.
So we at least know Cassian is more committed to screwing the Empire than him.
Right.
Because that guy was like, nah, I'm cool just being a thief. I'm cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
The Imperial officer that betrayed at Aldani, they said that he married a local.
Yeah.
And then they demoted him, and then she eventually died. They didn't go into it, but because of the Empire, so he has no love for the Empire either.
Mm-hmm.
So like a consistent theme of, they killed my loved one, so
right.
I'm against the Empire. So they leaned into the family thing, and without saying it's all about family, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
yeah. Yeah, basically, you know, hammering home the idea of like, oh, well, once it gets personal, you know, once you cross the line, then, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that can, you can watch it all happen and just be like, eh, but it doesn't affect me. Yeah. Then once it does affect you, then you take up arms. And it's interesting that they're showing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
or that's like, a theme that they decided to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I appreciated that. For the most part, the episodes were split into like 3-episode arcs, so it was like you got a bunch of different little mini movies.
Mm-hmm.
First 3 were like Cassian, you know, dealing with the effects. So like the whole thing is kicked off by two drunks not knowing when to let something go,
mm-hmm.
and then Cassian murders in self defense.
Two drunken officers with power not knowing how to let things go and abusing their power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing just kicks everything off. And then you have an officer, you know, that's trying to solve a murder who's being overzealous. But like, it's just like these two guys eventually, you know, through the dominoes, radicalized Cassian. And Ferrix, the planet itself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I like the 70s aesthetic. That's another note that I have. One of the things that I really liked about The Force Awakens was, like, when I saw the movie, I was like, they nailed the look.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
They had it down. It just feels like everything fits.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like, Book of Boba Fett.
Uh-huh.
Where it felt like I was on a set the entire time. There was 4 people in town, max, you know, that kind of thing. It never felt quite right.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that it did was the Mandalorian episode where, you know, it was like there's actually several people on that ring. It wasn't the Ring of Khafrein, but whatever ring world that he was doing
ring
bounty
space
on.
Station thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like... they did a fantastic job of making it feel real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I thought they had a good... I agree. Andor had a really good feel that not everything else has had. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Their sets were nice and full. I mean, the town there was just absolutely full of people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it always felt very real.
Well, and like just the nice little touches of like they have the wall of gloves.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like this feels like these workers are here, you know, the gloves are trusted to sit there, so it's like, so there's you see there's like a sense of camaraderie in the town because nobody's going to steal your gloves, that kind mm-hmm. of thing. Also the anvil ringer was pretty cool. Like I just like
that was neat.
Like it looked cool first of all, but like it looked like he had personality. Like I'm looking at this character and like before he even strikes, he strikes a pose and then goes, huh, which nobody will see or hear, like in the context of the world.
Yeah.
But I could imagine being the guy in that position and just, you know, taking your job that seriously where you're just like, bing, bing. And it's like, do it. You know, do your thing, man.
You're the bell ringer guy, man.
Yeah. And then I appreciate that he got to come back and kick a stormtrooper off the tower. That was very nice. He's like, this is Sparta. And
did he yell that?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Those exact
words.
He did
yell that. Indeed. I mean, you have to in those situations.
Right. Yes. Declared law. And just in general, it felt more real because, like, there's several times, like, when people are just like Imperials specifically are just standing around with a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming is coffee, but it's a little they have a little tumbler. I was like, this makes
probably
it
probably
calf. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it just feels like this is, you know, this is their job. So mm-hmm. they're at work with a, you know, a cup of calf. And it just makes it feel more
space
real.
Space Java.
Mm-hmm. Space Java. Yeah.
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 And then, like, there's one point where Mira, the Imperial officer, the blonde Imperial officer that's, you know, tracking down just rebels in general, like, she just takes a pill at one point, you know, and she puts a pill in her mouth and takes a swig. Nobody says anything about it. It just looks like a normal thing that happens in the world. It's like you just...
I got a headache, man.
Yeah, just... And you got to imagine she gets them because she's in a very high-stress job. And so that's another one where it was weird, where it's like I'm semi cheering for this this person.
That, they did a great job at that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they did. Because there was the other officer that was the obstructive bureaucrat and, you know, just getting
nobody
in the way.
Liked him.
didn't like him, but you're like, I'm kind of rooting for her because, of course, she, you know, she wants to do her job and she wants to do her job well. And this guy's being a dick. So I'm going to be on her side. And then you're like, but she's also a bad guy.
But she's hunting the other guy I like. Hold on now.
So, like, it was a... Like, they did a really good job of making these characters nuanced, where they're like...
They humanized all of them very well.
Yes, like everybody. Like, Brassa, which is Cassian's, like, big friend, his tall big friend. I was like, this guy's really cool. Like, I would like a friend like that. I wish one of you guys was tall that I could, you know, rely on. maybe I just need to be short, because maybe Cassian's short. Maybe that's what's going on. Or a little bit of both.
Probably some of both.
Probably some of both.
All right. I'll work on getting shorter. You guys work on getting taller.
It's possible. It is possible. Like, apparently they are doing leg extensions for guys now.
Yeah. And like, you want to have some of my bones?
I do not.
Okay.
No, well, then... I am perfectly happy with my height.
Yeah, same, really.
So, but that is a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
Apparently.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
So we could do this.
Could.
Yeah.
Just take some of Matt's bones, put them in Dan's legs, make...
I liked Clint.
Dan.
He's already further along that tree.
Uh-huh. He is taller, yeah. He is.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? We were talking about how humanized and balanced and nuanced all of the characters were. No, it's okay. It wouldn't be the Scrubcast if there weren't a derailment every now and then. You know, it's fine. Yeah. No, I agree. They did a really good job of making there was no, because I mean that is a thing that kind of happens in Star Wars a lot, is you've got, you know, the bad guy, the evil guy, the Vader, the, you know, what the Palpatine, the, you know, the the sort of, you know, relatively unqualified, you know, bad person.
Yeah.
And
here's the good person, which you like, because every time that they're in the scene, they make a quip.
Yeah.
And they're running. They're running and gunning, and there's good music, and they made a quip.
Every single one of the characters in this show was more developed than Boba Fett in Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah, that's true.
Extremely accurate, yeah.
And I liked, so like, I enjoyed Fennec Shand as a character, but she was kind of one note as well in that series.
No,
and
it
was just like each and every one of these characters, just even the guy that was like had the dogs that Rancor dogs, that was, you know, the junkyard, you know, owner type thing.
Machete?
You know? Machete? No.
No.
Different show.
No, in Andor. Not
okay.
No, so in Andor, there's a guy that was just, you know, he had the junkyard dogs and he watched the shipyard.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, it was like, but he had...
The dogs almost attacked
him. Personality.
He had personality. I was like, okay, I get this guy, you know?
What did you say?
He had personality.
Oh, somehow I heard Neighborhood Sally. And I'm like,
Neighborhood Sally, man.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
Wait, go back.
That guy. He's the Neighborhood Sally.
I don't know what that means.
So I had mentioned family earlier, but there's one person specifically. I mean, Mira, the Imperial lady, we don't get to see any family with her, but... Luthen specifically, which we somehow avoided talking about him at all up to this point.
Weirdly, yeah.
But
yeah, so you should definitely talk about him.
Okay. That is the... I'm glad... Your memory is so funny.
He's Axel or...
Axis.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
He's an Axel.
Okay.
Yeah, Axel Rose.
He's the handler.
I'm on board. How did we avoid talking about that guy this entire time?
Because he wasn't part of the score.
he
wasn't. He set up the score, you see.
Yeah, he did. But his speech, where he's specifically talking about how he doesn't have family, how he
the
is...
The speech was fantastic.
He's giving up. Mm-hmm. He gave up love, peace of mind, everything. Like, he's like, I'm committed to the cause. Like, my life is the cause.
Mm-hmm.
Which... several different times, like Clea, the lady that worked for him, and then Cinta, both of them, I already said she was the Indian-looking
Indian
lady.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
both okay. of them at points say, hey, it's the rebellion first. And that, like, Cinta, specifically mm-hmm. relationship with Vel, says, hey, rebellion first, then our relationship. And mm-hmm. then Clea says, yeah, the rebellion first, then everything else.
Mm-hmm. And you're a small part. Go away.
Yeah.
Go away. Yeah.
You are one part of many spinning plates that I have. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. So one thing. So I appreciated Clea as a character, but I also I kept looking at her and I'm like, you look like you could have played Leia. Like, if they really wanted to have somebody play Leia right now, mm-hmm, you could mm-hmm. take Clea to play Leia. And it's like, I was like, I feel like that's a squandered.
She did have a superficial resemblance to Carrie Fisher. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Enough to where I'd have been like, this would be an acceptable, mm-hmm. you know, a person to use, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't even think about that, but, you know, okay. All right. I'll buy it.
Dan looking her up because he doesn't remember what she looks like. Yeah.
Good thought. How would you spell that name?
I would use letters. C L
K K L E A.
Oh, okay. Well,
let me fix that in my notes because I have a C.
Uh huh.
So the first thing that pops up, Andor, is Clea actually Princess Leia? Theory explained.
So other people have also thought
Other people have thought
this. I would
yeah.
think that would be a weird thing to be.
Yeah, that wouldn't really make sense, I don't think, but,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Yeah, but no, they helpfully provide a picture of her next to yeah. a young Carrie Fisher.
So do you
Fisher
see the,
and...
the resemblance?
That's a Dan's very not very face. Good at seeing resemblances, so, you know.
Okay, so here's a fun story
very
about that.
Very dubious face.
Clint has two pictures on his refrigerator there. Clint and Emily have two pictures on their refrigerator, possibly other pictures, of a man in different Navy uniforms. Yes?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Apparently they're the same guy.
Okay. And you didn't put that together?
No. No.
So, Clint and Emily also have several photographs on their wall. Their stair, like the wall that mm-hmm. would be their stairs. Mm-hmm. There's two people in them.
They are. I recognize those.
Do you recognize?
Yes,
okay,
I do recognize. Those
all right, just want to make sure you knew those were Clint.
The one
Emily,
looks like he
just
should not
younger.
Legally be married yet.
Yeah, Clint
you
does
did
look
very
a
young
lot
in our wedding
younger.
Pictures. Yeah,
but no, like seriously,
I've aged
the,
so much.
I don't like the uniform is different, but mm-hmm. I can't. Tell that they're the same person.
Okay, so
I don't know how many years are in between there.
Like one, or, it's only one or two years.
Like
yeah, it's not
one.
Even that long. There's different facial
the,
hair.
Here's the problem: and, is like the yeah. first picture is like the whole when they shave you yeah. and then shove you in a uniform, take a picture, and that's the yeah. picture that they give you. Your yeah. family is look at this, you know.
He's a recruit.
Yeah, yeah. he's yeah. this little recruit. Clean shaven recruit with a bald head. Looks like every other one. Nobody is going to look the same. Like if I were if you told me a picture of me with a bald head,
I'm picturing
and
it,
of,
it looks hilarious.
A picture of me without a bald head, you probably wouldn't be able to tell it's the same person. Like,
right?
Well, Dan would.
So like, hair makes a
hair
drastic
can make
difference.
A difference. But,
so like,
but I don't
can,
think they were that different though. I mean,
they're
sure,
not that
his hair was like slightly longer in the other picture.
That's about it.
But like, not
hair slightly longer.
I think
and he had
a mustache.
Mustache
in one,
of course,
and not
he had
in the
a
other
because he was allowed to grow a cop mustache.
Right.
So he did.
So here's a funny and potentially somewhat sad story along those same lines. My parents are older.
You're older.
You know what? You recognize them, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
But that's where this is going. Just give me a second. So they're in their mid-70s now. That's how math works? That is how
sure.
math works. They're in their mid-70s now. And so the other day we were going through pictures, like old family pictures, of time in Africa and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, various other things. And we, the kids, were supposed to find pictures of various people and sort them into piles so that if, you know, Brother Ben or whoever was in this picture, then they should go over here and so on and so forth, right? I was useless because like I'm looking at these pictures and I'm like, I don't know these people.
Yeah.
But like one of them is me. Yeah. From a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, who's that? That's your mom. Huh.
No, seriously.
Are you sure?
Like, I was looking at pictures of all of these white ladies, and I'm like, maybe one of them is my mother.
So,
there's a lost little birdie, aren't you?
Are you my mother? Definitely not somebody to ask when, hey, does this person look like this person?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Well, anyways, that was a nice little...
So perhaps she could have played Leia.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It would seem like a weird avenue to take that character.
Oh, if that character literally was Leia somehow. Yeah,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But
because
yeah.
It's like, why use a high-profile person and make them a shop clerk?
Yeah, right. It's like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no. Especially when people are watching, like, Mon Mothma and stuff like that. It's like, why would you do that? That would...
Yeah. No, that fan theory makes no sense, but the actress totally could have...
People create a lot of weird fan theories.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I get it, because I saw it, and I was like, you could have used her. Mm-hmm. A couple other things. It was cool to see Saw, and...
Oh, of course.
That was fun.
And it's always fun to see Saw.
Yeah.
And I found out that the tubes that's in the show is Benthic.
Is it Benthic?
Yeah, okay. It's Benthic.
That's an important bit of knowledge. Thank you.
Because Benthic has a necklace that looks like...
What's the other one? Edrio?
Edrio.
Edrio.
Edrio. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like Benthic has a necklace that specifically, I was like, aha! I was able to figure out which one it was!
So interesting.
Like using like
so
the
does
Star
that
Wars
have any bearing on our Star Wars RPG game?
Which one's there?
Does he have a necklace or not, Clint?
I don't, we'll have to find out next time you guys see him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll switch it up. Maybe sometimes he'll have a necklace and sometimes he won't.
I will never know the difference.
I'll never know which tube it is.
That was fun.
Which two of the four?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was fun when Luthen was just like, who's your... It like Saw's like, who's the man on the inside? And he was like, it's tubes. He's just totally messing
so
with him.
So good.
He's like, listen, I can see what you're starting to rattle in your brain. And you're starting to go crazy. Uh-huh. It's like,
look, man, I just told you that you're like number one guy is the inside man, and you're about to shoot him. Like, you are off your rocker, Saw.
One thing I did appreciate. I mean, they did just in general make the Empire seem intimidating, but like. They really made a TIE, just a single TIE fighter seem menacing. Like, whenever they were on Aldani, and then they were like, there was a TIE fighter that you could hear it coming, and they're like, hide, hide. And it's just like, this actually feels like it could be a problem here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which was nice.
On the scale of the surface of a planet, I suppose a TIE fighter is big and bad enough to be a problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I do have one question that like lingered with me aside from like where is the Mon Mothma's daughter storyline going to go, but so when Luthen picks up Cassian, he gives him a Kyber crystal.
Yeah,
right.
He gives it to him for the duration of the
heist. Yeah,
and then. Cassian gives it to Vel and says, hey, give it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the purpose of it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's money.
I mean, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it seems weird to give somebody a $30,000 trinket and say, hey, stay honest. You know,
right, right.
When it could be like, here's a $30,000 trinket. And then that person disappears, you know?
Uh-huh. Right. Well, and I mean, and maybe that was kind of the point of like, you know, whatever, Luthen deciding to trust him or whatever, I guess. But
the
like,
only reason he gave it to him was like, look, I'm good for the money. I'm good for the work. If you don't believe me here, take this. And if I don't give you your money, you'll make someone else selling this.
What,
here you go. So either give me that back and take your cut or.
Now,
or
why
go
was
sell
it?
This.
Yeah. Now, why was it particularly a Kyber
crystal?
I mean, because it's worth money.
Well, I mean, Kyber crystal, yeah, it's something of worth, but I.
And something for that would be for us easily recognizable as something of worth.
As worth. Yeah,
it's just like we've seen Like, and he even did it to Cassian where he just flashed him. He was like, when
I don't recall that being the show.
You really need to rewatch the show, Dan.
When Cassian trying to sell that Imperial unit of box. Some sort. Yes. Imperial box. Luthen just flashed him, like, tons and tons of credits, you know, and he was just like, yeah, I can pay it. And he's like, if you tell me how you got it, I'd give you an extra 2,000 credits. Uh-huh. And he was just, like, very flippant with money. So it was, uh-huh. It seemed odd to where, like, I don't know, that the down payment was still there. You know, it's like, he should have, I feel like he could have taken him on his word a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Then, because he was already leaving him in a situation where it's like, here, you're with five rebels, and what are you going to do? Walk away? They're in the middle of a valley, in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, and once I've given this to you, you still have the 30,000 credits that if you could fence this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It just struck me as odd. Uh-huh. I didn't know. Yeah. It was just used as like a point of contention between him and Skeen. Skeen was the guy's
name.
There
you go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also, character that I liked, young revolutionary that wrote
of course, yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to like him, though.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then they kill him.
You're supposed to like Mouse.
Yeah.
Oh, Mouse. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
see? As soon as they introduced him, I was like, oh, look, it's Mouse. He's going to die.
I mean, plenty of people died during that.
Yeah, but still.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you said that was a pointless kill when Cassian killed
Skeen. I thought it was odd when he shot Skeen. It just kind of felt weird. Because, like, before that, it's like, okay, you get to see him, like, shoot some guards. But that was, like, in self-defense. It didn't really, like, paint him as just a cold-blooded, you know, killer up to that point. It's like, he even was, I don't know, like, kind of apprehensive to even shoot at people here and there. I don't know. And then, all of a sudden, he's sitting there talking with that guy, and the dude's like, hey, man, you want to, like, leave these people high and dry and take all the money? And, like, without a word, he just shoots him, like...
Yeah.
It's just like, hold on.
I think there is a bit of a disconnect between that coldness and previous reluctance to be cold.
It was just like, that was so cold and kind of odd feeling.
I think Cassian liked the kid. Like, he was fond of him, even though he didn't.
Yeah.
And basically, like, but at that moment, he's in. Like, when the kid's on the table being operated on at the moment, he might survive. We don't know that. I mean, we know, but like, Cassian doesn't know at that moment, and he's like, you want to abandon this kid that I actually, though I'm not admitting it, I am fond of.
Yeah.
And he's like, and you're trying to abandon them here and rob them of everything that they just tried. I mean, granted, robbing the Imperials is part of a victory, but getting the spoils to use to continue against
I'm still going to say murdering him seems like an overreaction.
Right, rather than being like, rather than just simply being like, no, bro, what if I go tell What's-Her-Face what your plan is, and then see where it goes
and
from
get
there.
Shot in the back?
I mean, well, maybe.
Draw a gun on him,
like something.
But don't just like be
just
like,
straight up murder.
I mean, that's
just,
fair.
Just hand shoot for something.
First style. It just felt weird.
So, like, my initial thought was, like, either this is the guy trying to fake tempt.
Yes, see, that's what was jarring about it for me.
Yeah,
that was honestly what was jarring about it for me, more so per se than Cassian straight up shooting him, which was also pretty, you know, unexpected, jarring. But I genuinely thought, because the whole time Skeen or whatever his name was had been harassing Andor about not being, you know, true to the cause. So I just assumed that this was him, like, trying to, like, you know, trying to out him as trying to out Cassian as a mercenary.
Yeah.
And then so
once he says no, he'll be like, oh, okay, fine, you're really for the cause, cool. Maybe he was going there. We'll never know.
So I was I was anticipating that in that exchange, and then it was just like, nope. Dead. Yeah. And I was like, for all kinds of reasons, that was very, very jarring.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know that I'm not, this isn't even like a major gripe. I just found that scene really jarring in that sense.
It didn't jar me, but that was actually the original thought that I had was like, oh, he's just putting one final test in, you know, to see if he's actually committed to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
But then he shoots him, and it's like, but if, like, say he was 100% real, and like he was like, yes, let's just take it and, you know, run away. I also think that would eventually have ended with Cassian getting shot in the back, because if somebody's willing to. It was like the only reason he needed Cassian is because Cassian could fly the hauler.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
if you make that lineup and you go,
and maybe that's where Cassian
Tim or me right now.
And I think that's where he
it's
he,
him now or me later is where you're supposed to get to as a viewer.
And I think that's where Cassian went.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
He went there very quickly, and it took us conversating after the show for a while to realize or to figure out why he did that.
Yeah.
Maybe
why he did that. I don't know.
Let's see. What other notes that I have? There's
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, yes.
Andy Serkis.
There's Andy Serkis.
There is that.
He was so good.
Yeah, I did really
one way out.
Good.
Yeah.
One
way out. I do enjoy joking joking that it is the unexpected Snoke origin story that we we're getting it finally.
Uh-huh. This is the unexpected Snoke origin story.
Oh yeah.
Because he couldn't swim, so he couldn't leave the base, so they now have him, and they're going to start doing experiments on him.
And they're going to merge his DNA with
Jar Jar.
Oh, God. And that gives him force powers.
And he becomes Snoke.
So
I'm expecting to see him in the next season of Mandalorian, then, as they continue whatever they were going for there.
Are we going to get Jar Jar in the Mandalorian?
Don't ask
probably
me.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Seems unlikely.
Maybe season 4.
And it's death throws.
After the show's no longer good and they should stop making episodes, that's when they'll just like really reach down into the Star Wars pockets and they'll be like, who's this?
It's Jar Jar! Jar Jar, finally confirmed.
Yeah. Something that I thought was interesting was the Imperials lied about what happened at Aldani, because there's it was robbed. And then you hear Mon Mothma's husband say that they just burned the base to the ground. And then somebody else later, one of the prisoners said that the rebels blew up a base. And it was like, neither of that happened. You know, it's like they killed, you know, probably about 10, maybe tops 15 guards and robbed the joint. Uh-huh. But the Empire's like, we're not going to tell people that we lost an entire sector's payroll.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to say that the rebels burned a base. We would rather that happen than lose the face that, you know, because like
they stole our money. Yeah. And somebody, they got away with it.
Somebody bombing a base seems a little bit easier than somebody heisting us and taking all of our money.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The character Melshi, who the only reason I know his name is because I looked it up, because he's a character. The guy that escaped the prison with Cassian hopped on the quad jumper with him and ended up on the...
I did enjoy seeing a quad jumper again.
Yeah. He ended up on Space Miami at the when they were like, we need to...
Wait, they went back to Space Miami?
Yeah, because Cassian had to pick up all his cash that was there and his gun.
He hid his stuff in the shower and it stayed there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he also called his mom. Well, he tried to call his mom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And she died.
That's when he found out that she died.
Okay. And Space Miami.
Okay. I somehow didn't put it together that they went back to Space Miami. Did they walk around Space Miami?
Just for
not
a little
bit.
Okay. It was not very Miami
very
looking.
Very briefly,
okay.
Yeah.
Like I just was very like, oh, scene. He's getting stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Neat. And that was it.
His stuff. And then Cassian make the space phone call to find out that his mom's dead. And then he takes like 3 steps the other way. And
how would payphones work in space?
Yeah, so
space quarters.
Yeah, just try not to think about it too much. A lot of numbers.
Yeah,
So many numbers.
Orbesh zeros and ones.
And quantum entanglement or something. Yeah.
So,
quantum entanglement is part of anything. It makes it sound science-y and right, okay, so I'll accept it.
Quantum entanglement is actually one of the...
I don't want you to explain it.
No, but this is the intellectual moment. Oh,
yeah. Okay, fine.
So quantum entanglement is basically like you have this atom here and this atom...
Chestnut?
Yes, Adam Chestnut. Okay. I have an atom in my left hand and an atom in my right hand, and these two atoms are in sync with each other. So, if you vibrate this one, the one in the left hand, the one in the right hand will vibrate at the same, you know, frequency or however.
They made a movie about this, yes?
Probably.
It's called Ant-Man.
It's a concept.
He used the word quantum.
No. What I'm thinking of is...
Quantum Leap?
Stormlight.
Archive?
Yeah. This is not right. Because with the writing over long distances...
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's kind of that idea where they have the pen that they have two the rubies. Pen. Yeah, it's that, essentially. Quantum entanglement.
So they send messages.
No.
Okay.
We're good.
See, that's
so
too
that's
far.
Quantum entanglement,
essentially.
Okay,
but the thing is that quantum
so
entanglement
use
happens...
it for writing messages long distance.
Yes,
got it.
But the thing is they happen at the same time, no matter the time dilation, because the closer you get to going to the speed of light, time dilation happens. So, like, if you sent a message, it would eventually get there. I don't know. Even if you send it at the speed of light, if I sent a message at the speed of light, it would still get there a year from now.
I mean, that's how all messaging in Star Wars, it's just like, it's instant.
It's instantaneous.
Yeah, it's all instant stuff, but like, so you have to assume. Yeah, I guess.
But if you have quantum entanglement,
yeah,
you vibrate this atom here on Earth, and then you have this atom on Alpha Centauri, and that one is quantumly entangled, you could have real-time communication, even though it would take you centuries to get there, depending on how
normally
space travel would get.
Yeah. It's a science-y thing that's like been used in a lot of different sci-fi, you know, applications. Like, the theoretical future application of this quantum mechanics thing that we figured out is that, you know, real-time communication could theoretically be possible.
And it's not Star Wars realm to get into that. They're not in the science fiction. They're about science fantasy, which is totally cool.
Yeah,
it's why I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, one of the best criticisms, and somebody said this on the Discord earlier today, where they said something along the lines of, what I appreciate about Andor is it's just a really good spy story that just happens to be in the Star Wars universe.
True.
Did you say that?
No, I said, I responded.
Someone said this quote.
I think it was Dorquist, but I agreed to it. You're supposed to say hi, Dorquist.
Oh, hi, Dorquist.
There you go.
I think he's a Dan. Actually.
I think he's also a Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Uh-huh. Don't dox him. Jeez. Anyway.
I didn't say his last name. I can't.
Dan Dorquist. and my response to that was like, and that's what I did like about Boba Fett. If it had been a good, like, crime syndicate story... And then it just happened to be in Star Wars. Awesome. But it wasn't a good crime syndicate story either.
No.
So,
no, it wasn't a good story.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Mandalorian is a decent Western set in Star Wars, you know?
Yeah. It totally makes sense to me that your brother enjoys The Mandalorian because it's a Western.
Yeah. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Told him to watch Andor. I'm sure he'll like it.
So anyway, I was talking about Melshi.
Melshi.
Oh, yeah.
So there was a space phone
call. That's the guy who went to Space Miami.
Yeah, he went to Space Miami with him, and then like after the phone call, he was like, "How did it go?"
We're over an hour by now.
So, yeah, anyway, he was with Cassian, and like he was like, "So how'd it go?" And like Cassian was just like, "Yeah, it's okay." And after he just found out that his mom died, but anyway, Melshi was like, "We need to tell somebody has to tell the world that the Empire's doing this because like, you know, Cassian." On trumped up charges, even though he probably deserved jail time for robbing the Empire, he was
innocent of what he was charged of.
Yeah, he was innocent of what he was charged of. He was just arrested for being near a crime, and then not there was a sham trial. It wasn't even really a trial. He just had a sentencing,
mm-hmm.
oh. And then went to, you know, indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a.
So, yeah, go ahead.
No, that, I just thought that was really cool. That they decided to show that in the mm-hmm. series. Finally,
it definitely helped with the debunking of the Empire did nothing wrong.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, there wasn't the thing where they killed like billions of people when they blew up Alderaan. That wasn't. Mm-hmm. That's mass murder. Who cares? You know,
but like,
you know, several billions is statistic. In, you know? One person in
right.
jail.
No, and true. I mean that is the thing, though, is that yeah. like it's, you know, it's so distant when they blow up a planet.
Yeah,
but then this is very personal and in your face.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's not just Vader. So I think that's the thing yeah. about. I think that's the thing about the other movies. Again, with the whole big bad guy. You know, like mm-hmm. it's yeah. not Vader, because I mean Vader gave the command. Oh, mm-hmm. blow up this planet, and Vader's no, you know the big bad.
Tarkin did.
But... Okay, whatever. Yeah. So Tarkin,
so
Vader.
Vader did nothing wrong.
Vader did nothing wrong. All right.
Let's restate
whatever.
This all.
All right.
Vader did so nothing wrong. The part where he murdered all the little kids. And the women.
And the children, too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
Vader did some things wrong.
Okay, fine.
Okay, well. Pardon my memory. But the point being that, like, it's all, like,
yeah.
big bad guy Vader stuff. But this is showing the mundane...
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. mundane atrocities of the Empire that were the reason that the people ultimately rebelled. Like, yeah. I mean, sure, definitely blowing up Alderaan once they got to that point was a yeah. thing, but the rebellion already existed before yeah. the explosion mm-hmm. of Alderaan, mm-hmm. and this is showing us why people were yeah. rebelling even before mm-hmm. yeah. Alderaan got exploded.
And
yeah.
It actually shows us an example, whereas all the other people talking about their dead relatives is mm-hmm. just, that's tell, not show, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, Melshi,
uh-huh.
if I can get to it, uh-huh. Melshi is in Rogue One. He is in Cassian's crew. He actually is one of the guys that rescues Jyn Erso when K2SO is like, congratulations, you're being rescued. He's okay. in that crew. And then mm-hmm. he's also on the Rogue One and
is
dies.
Is it the same actor?
Yes.
Okay.
And he dies on, spoilers, on the planet Scarif. Mm-hmm. helping that.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. Yeah.
I thought the actor looked vaguely familiar, but I wasn't sure why. And
right,
that's
yeah,
why.
That's why. Yeah, I had that same. I was like, I recognize him somehow.
Uh huh.
So yeah, he's just. I mean, and he's just a background guy that mm-hmm. you just happen, yeah. you know, just you happen to see him, and holy crap, your foot was cold, Dan.
Yes. yes.
Like, it was cold, but then when you took it off and like all the warmth returned, that was when my body was like, what in the world, man? Did you just hold an ice cube to us? Holy
that
crap.
That means heat's cold.
Yes.
So, let me warm up my freaking calf. Holy cow. But yeah, so that was, that, and that's the last note, is that Melshi was in those.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
That
nice.
Was really cool. Oh, wait,
no. That
no.
is cool. Oh, nope. There's another one.
Nope.
Don't worry. There's
there
another
is
one.
Other stuff. The space battle was super slick.
it was
that was really cool. The side lasers are incredibly impractical, though.
Incredibly impractical,
because you have to get them right as like he spun, so that meant he had to activate them and spin and just hit them at the exact right time. Like if he was like taking a pass,
I just assumed they were automated.
Sure, I guess.
Uh huh.
Sure.
Why not? Like, he primed them and stuff. So like, he hit the buttons and whatnot.
Sure, but I mean, then after that, you put it into an algorithm.
Yeah,
and
you
boom,
give
it
to the little astromech that keeps looking at him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But, like, otherwise, it seems impractical. Unless you were, like, if he was trying to take a run at that Star Destroyer and just, like, turned on one. And it's like, if you just drive by, yeah, you got a laser just, like, you know, drawn
yeah.
stick figures on the side of the Star Destroyer.
So I do feel like we should definitely title this episode Matt Carey Monologues Andor.
Yeah, no, I mean,
pretty much.
I had more notes than everybody.
Anybody.
I'm the one that had notes.
Because you had notes.
Yeah, you did have notes. Yeah. You're the
I
media
didn't even
critic
realize
over
we were
here.
Talking about Andor tonight. So
that's weird because we talked about talking about Andor.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure maybe we did.
But yeah, that was a when I said, hey, we should get together and have a story time episode, and we could talk about the thing, and you said, oh, we could also talk about Andor.
Well, I think,
and
we,
so you know,
I
we
think,
went, oh yeah, I guess we could probably slip
well,
that in
we
there
had
as
talked
well.
About talking about Andor.
We had
several
talked
different
about
times.
Talking about Andor.
And then we had also mentioned that we were going to potentially talk about our Star Wars RPG, which we can still do.
Oh, yeah, we have time.
We are over an hour in, not tonight.
I mean, we will
do that later.
It will still be a relevant transition.
Listen, we can talk for like 3 hours.
I mean, you can. It will be. We will do that later.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Like you said, we're in an awkward story spot right now.
The thing is,
anyway,
no matter what, we'll always continue. We will continue playing, so whenever we do finally talk
about it,
we'll
just have more material.
There will just be more material and content to talk about.
The problem is that you know, the longer we wait, the more material Star Wars is going to steal from you.
That is true.
This is a problem. But they're stealing
Clint's story arcs and putting them in Andor.
Right. All right. Well, we have announcements and nonsense, right?
Oh, yeah. We have a couple of announcements and nonsense. Number one is we have finalized the date for the Midwest Scrub Down to the Empire Scrubs Your Back.
Is it Scrubs Your Back or Scrubs You Back?
They're
we'll
both
nail
good.
That down.
They're
we
both
still,
good.
We still got
we'll put up a poll for that one, I guess.
Yeah. So we've confirmed with our venue, Miniature Market Manchester, that they are willing for us to have it on May the 6th and 7th. It's a weekend, first weekend in May. So mark your calendars, not with the large circle this time, but with the small
circle,
just around the first weekend of May. This is the weekend before Mother's Day, so we have kindly avoided that weekend for all of you and us.
It goes along with the May the 4th
time.
Oh, yes.
It's right there around Star Wars time.
The venue guy was like, oh, it'll be right around May the 4th. And we're like, yes.
That's what we were going for.
We totally noticed
about.
That. Yeah.
That was the plan all along. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Exceptions.
But you know that works out. You know, make your plans to join us for Scrub Down 2. It will be in many ways similar in the sense that it is in the same venue with the same player cap and the same, you know, probably
judges.
General details. Yeah. The same judges. I assume we'll probably do the same price. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
we got a similar grand prize. This will be a lightsaber.
Yes, the lightsaber's coming back again this year.
There will most likely be similar cookies.
Yes.
Indeed. Yep.
I can always make more not lightsabers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably prize support that will top the faction. We'll probably get a painted ship and whatnot.
If we're going to do that, we got to get on that, don't we? Yeah.
I mean, I have ships that can be used.
Okay.
I got like a lambda.
Well, it's less about the finding to use them and more about the painting of them.
It's more about the each ship.
It does take
a month
Clint
to
about
paint.
5 months to paint a ship.
Because I'm not motivated to do it.
But it requires
a certain motivation, desire to do such things.
Yeah. So we will be in many ways attempting to recapture the same magic that we had at the original Scrub Down.
Can you bottle lightning?
Well, I will still have the exact same level of knowledge about 2.5 that I had then.
You can bottle lightning. You heard it there, folks. Scrub objective tokens. I've heard from Louis Leong, and he said that he got the proofs from the factory that makes them, and this was about a week and a half ago, and he said that they were beginning production, and I'm thinking it will be sometime in early January when the scrubs get them. So
yes, right.
Probably
so,
late January. When
yeah, we'll have to mail them out from there. But yes, so we'll tentatively, you'll be seeing them sometime in that time frame. At some point, patrons will also be getting templates. I don't know if they are still.
I haven't gotten them from Ben yet.
Oh,
I'm glad
okay.
you just mentioned that because I need to check up with him.
Yeah.
Like, he gave me the proof and was like, here's what it'll look like. I'm like, cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did pay for them.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It could just be seasonal shipping.
Yeah.
Seasonal shipping issues, maybe. Yeah. But no, at some point, you know, maybe before then, maybe before the objective tokens, patrons will also be getting the next template. So,
I will definitely attest to seasonal shipping issues. There's stuff that I've ordered on December 4th that I'm still just like, I would like this because I'm supposed to give it to people for Christmas. So please get it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Yeah.
This is the way.
Shipping issues.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Alrighty. Any other announcements or nonsense?
And or nonsense.
And announcements and or nonsense. Nope. Nope. No, no. Going once. No. Going twice.
Probably it. Have fun holidays for all you people who listen to this around that time.
Happy Life Day. And
why doesn't anyone say Christmas anymore? It's like everyone's afraid to just say the word. Everyone's holiday this and holiday that.
We're quoting oral knots over here.
Okay, I was going to say, this is probably a Star Wars parody.
It's a Star Wars parody.
It is both atrocious and wonderful at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Palpatine, we have the holiday things all set up. Why doesn't anyone just say Christmas anymore?
And for you X-Wingers, Merry Christmas to you.
Christmas.
And we out.
We out.
Bye.
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 Hello, bye y'all.
Excuse me.
Are you brainless?
No, not really, no.
The ability to speak does not make you intelligent. Don't do that again. Many Gungans will be killed.
Ah, Lucifer is well seen.